Welcome to everybody. This is Basics with Bits for Saturday, June 27th, 2026. And today we're going to be hearing about AI from Kayla. So, Kayla, I'll just hand it over to you and we'll go from there.
Thank you very much, Caroline, and welcome everybody. I am looking forward to this presentation. And so we're already at the end of June, which I cannot believe that we're already halfway through the year. When it comes to AI, so personally, I do multiple AI, what they call chatbots, which you'll learn a little bit about in a few minutes. I use ChatGPT, Gemini. I also use Claude, and there are so many more out there, and they get more and more. But I do want to let you guys know that today's presentation was actually created using, funny enough, ChatGPT and Quill, which is the new tool that Jeff Bishop, our president, has developed. The audio portion was created through that program. And actually, I believe he is releasing the newest builds today or tomorrow. So lots coming. Okay, so I do have a quick 27-minute presentation that will get into all about ChatGPT and Gemini. So I'm going to have Caroline play that, and then we'll get going with questions and more after.
Welcome, everyone, to Basics with Bits. I am very glad you are here today. Bits stands for Blind Information Technology Solutions, and our Basics with Bits classes are designed to make technology less intimidating, more practical, and more accessible. Today's class is for anyone who is brand new to artificial intelligence, anyone who has heard of AI but has not really used it yet, or anyone who has tried tools like ChatGPT or Google Gemini and wants a clearer starting point. For the first part of this class, we are going to focus on ChatGPT. After that, we will move to Google Gemini. We are going to cover them one at a time so we do not confuse the two tools or jump back and forth too quickly. By the end of this presentation, you should understand what AI chat tools are, how to get to ChatGPT, how to get to Gemini, how to start a conversation, how to ask a question, how to improve your prompts, and how to use these tools safely. AI tools can help with many everyday tasks. They can help you write emails, brainstorm ideas, summarize long information, explain topics, make checklists, plan projects, troubleshoot basic problems, practice skills, and organize your thoughts. For example, you can ask an AI tool to help write a professional email, explain a confusing topic in plain language, create a packing list, summarize a meeting note, or give step-by-step instructions for something you are trying to do. At the same time, it is very important to understand that AI can make mistakes. Sometimes it may misunderstand your question. Sometimes it may give outdated information. Sometimes it may sound very confident, even when the answer is not completely correct. So, we should think of AI as a helpful assistant, not as a final authority. For anything important, especially medical, legal, financial, government, account, or safety-related information, you should review the answer carefully and check with a trusted source. Let's begin with the basics. Artificial intelligence, often shortened to AI, is technology that can process information and respond in a way that feels similar to a conversation. AI does not think or understand the world the same way a person does. Instead, it looks for patterns in information and uses those patterns to create a response. An AI chatbot is a tool that lets you have a back-and-forth conversation with artificial intelligence. You type or speak a question, instruction, or request, and the chatbot responds. Then you can ask another question, ask it to explain more, ask it to rewrite the answer, or correct something. ChatGPT and Google Gemini are both AI chat tools. You can type or speak questions and receive responses. You can use them for writing, learning, planning, summarizing, brainstorming, and many other tasks. But neither ChatGPT nor Gemini replaces your own judgment. You are still the person deciding whether the answer is useful, accurate, appropriate, and safe to use. Before we begin walking through the tools, let's talk about accessibility. Many people can use ChatGPT and Gemini with a keyboard and a screen reader. This may include JAWS, NVDA, VoiceOver on Apple devices, TalkBack on Android, or other accessibility tools. The exact experience may be a little different depending on your browser, device, operating system, screen reader, and whether the website or app has recently changed. The most important thing to remember is that you do not need to rely only on a mouse. You can often move through the page using the keyboard. The tab key usually moves you forward through buttons, links, edit boxes, menus, and other controls. Shift plus tab usually moves you backward. Enter or spacebar usually activates a button or link. If you hear your screen reader announce a button, you can usually press enter or spacebar to activate it. In a web browser, Control plus L moves you to the address bar on Windows. On a Mac, Command plus L usually moves you to the address bar. Control plus T opens a new browser tab on Windows. Command plus T opens a new tab on Mac. Control plus W closes the current browser tab on Windows. Command plus W closes the current tab or window on Mac, depending on the app. Alt plus tab switches between open applications on Windows. Command plus tab switches between open applications on Mac. When you are in an edit box, Control plus A selects all text on Windows. Command plus A selects all text on Mac. Control plus C copies selected text on Windows. Command plus C copies selected text on Mac. Control plus V paste on Windows. Command plus V paste on Mac. Control plus Z undoes the last action on Windows. Command plus Z does the same on Mac. For screen reader users, the exact words you hear may vary. One person may hear message edit box. Another person may hear prompt edit field, ask anything, text box, or multi-line edit. Websites and apps change over time, so the label may not always be exactly the same. The important thing is to listen for an edit field where you can type your message, and then look for or move to the send button. Now let's begin with ChatGPT. ChatGPT is an AI chat tool from OpenAI. In simple terms, it is a place where you can ask questions, give instructions, or paste text and ask for help. ChatGPT can answer questions, explain topics, help write drafts, summarize information, organize ideas, and continue a conversation with follow-up questions. To access ChatGPT from a web browser, first open the browser you usually use. This might be Microsoft Edge, Google Chrome, Safari, Firefox, or another browser. Once your browser is open, move to the address bar. On Windows, press Control plus L. On Mac, press Command plus L. Your screen reader may say something like address bar, search or enter web address or selected. Type checked. Com, then press enter. The ChatGPT website should load. Depending on whether you have used it before, you may already be signed in or you may be asked to log in or create an account. Look for or move to a button or link that says something like login, sign in, sign up, or get started. You can usually press tab to move through the page until your screen reader announces the option you need. Then press enter or spacebar. If you already have an account, choose the sign in option and follow the steps. You may be able to sign in with an email address, a Google account, a Microsoft account, an Apple account, or another available option. The choices may vary. If you do not have an account, choose the sign up or create account option. You may be asked for an email address, a password, your name, your date of birth, or other basic account information. You may also be asked to verify your email address. Verification usually means that the service sends you an email with a link or a code. You open that email, follow the instructions, and then return to ChatGPT. Some people may also be asked to complete security steps, such as confirming they are not a robot, entering a code, or approving a sign-in from another device. These steps are normal, but they may look different for different people. After you sign in, you should arrive at the main ChatGPT screen. You can also access ChatGPT from a desktop application if it is available for your device. On a Windows computer, the ChatGPT app may be available from the Microsoft Store. On a Mac, the ChatGPT desktop app may be downloaded from OpenAI's official ChatGPT desktop page. On phones and tablets, the ChatGPT app may be available from the Apple App Store or Google Play Store. When downloading an app, use the official App Store or the official ChatGPT website. Be careful with fake apps or lookalike websites. If you are unsure, ask someone you trust to help verify that you are downloading the correct app. After the app is installed, you can open it like any other application. On Windows, you can press the Windows key, type ChatGPT, and press Enter when you hear the app name. On Mac, you can open the Applications folder, use Spotlight search with Command plus Space, type ChatGPT, and press Enter when the app is found. On a phone or tablet, find the ChatGPT app icon and open it. The first time you open the app, you may need to sign in with the same account you use on the web. Once signed in, your experience may be similar to the web version. Now let's talk about the basic layout of ChatGPT. The layout can change slightly, and it may be different between the website, desktop app, and mobile app, but the basic pieces are usually similar. There is usually a new chat button. This starts a fresh conversation. If you are using a screen reader, you can press tab or use your screen reader's navigation commands to look for a button labeled New Chat. There is a message edit box. This is where you type your question or request. Your screen reader may announce it as an edit box, a message box, or something like Ask Anything. This is the main place where you interact with ChatGPT. There is usually a send button. After you type your message, you can activate the send button. In many cases, pressing enter may also send the message, but this can depend on the app, browser, and settings. If pressing enter does not send, tab to the send button and press enter or spacebar. There is usually a chat history area. This is where previous conversations may appear. If chat history is turned on and available, you may be able to return to older chats. The history may be shown in a side panel or menu. There is usually an account or profile menu. This is where you may find settings, account information, subscription options, data controls, appearance settings, or sign out options. There may also be a model picker. A model is the version or type of AI that is answering you. You do not need to understand every model as a beginner. If a model picker is available, it may let you choose between different options. Some models may be faster, some may be better for reasoning, and some may be available only on certain plans. For this beginner class, the most important thing is that you can use the default option and still learn the basics. Now let's start a new chat in ChatGPT. First, make sure you are signed in and on the main ChatGPT page or app screen. Look for or move to the new chat button. Press enter or spacebar. This opens a fresh conversation. Next, move to the message edit box. You can use tab, shift plus tab, or your screen reader's form controls navigation. When you hear the edit box, you can begin typing. A very simple first prompt could be, explain what AI is in simple terms. After typing your message, send it. You may press enter if that works in your setup, or you can tab to the send button and press enter or spacebar. After you send the message, ChatGPT will begin creating a response. You may hear your screen reader announce that something is being generated, or you may need to move through the page to find the response. With a screen reader, you can often use reading commands to move by headings, landmarks, paragraphs, or browse mode text. You can also use tab to move through interactive controls near the response. Once ChatGPT gives an answer, you can continue the conversation. You do not have to explain everything again if you are staying in the same chat. You can ask a follow-up question. For example, after asking, explain what AI is in simple terms, you could ask, now explain it as if I am brand new to computers. Or give me three examples of how I might use AI at home. Or make that answer shorter. This back-and-forth conversation is one of the most useful parts of ChatGPT. You can keep improving the answer by asking follow-up questions. If you want to start over on a new topic, use the new chat button. Starting a new chat helps keep topics separate. For example, you might use one chat for writing an email, another chat for planning a meeting, and another chat for learning about a new topic. Now let's talk about copying a response. There may be a copy button near ChatGPT's answer. You can move through the controls near the response until you hear something like copy. Press enter or spacebar to copy the response. If you cannot find a copy button, you can also select the text manually, but this may be different depending on your screen reader and browser. After copying, you can move to another program such as Word, Notepad, an email message, or a text document, and paste using Control plus V on Windows or Command plus V on Mac. ChatGPT is especially useful for rewriting, simplifying, summarizing, organizing, and explaining information. You can ask, rewrite this so it sounds more professional. You can ask, make this easier to understand. You can ask, summarize this text in plain language. You can ask, organize this into a checklist. You can ask, explain this topic to a beginner. Here are a few beginner-friendly prompts you can practice with. Explain what AI is in simple terms. Help me write a professional email. Summarize this text in plain language. Give me step-by-step instructions for updating an app. Create a checklist for preparing for meeting. Make this easier to understand. When writing prompts, you will usually get better results if you give ChatGPT more helpful information. A prompt is simply the instruction, question, or request you give to the AI. A weak prompt might be, write an email. That is not wrong, but it is very broad. ChatGPT does not know who the email is for, what the email is about, what tone you want, or how long it should be. A stronger prompt would be, write a short, friendly, professional email to a volunteer thanking them for helping at our event. Mention that we appreciated their time and support, and end by saying we hope to work with them again. That stronger prompt gives the AI a task, a tone, an audience, a purpose, and a format. Here is another example. A weak prompt might be, explain computers. That is too broad. A stronger prompt would be, explain what a computer is in simple language for an adult beginner who uses a screen reader. Keep the explanation short and include three everyday examples. The stronger prompt tells ChatGPT what to explain, who the answer is for, what level to use, and what format to provide. When you are not sure how to write a good prompt, you can ask ChatGPT to help you create one. For example, you can type, please turn this into a better prompt. Or, ask me questions to help make this prompt more specific. Or rewrite this prompt so I get a clearer answer. This is a very helpful beginner strategy. You do not have to be perfect at prompting right away. You can ask the AI to help improve your prompt. Now let's talk about privacy and safety in ChatGPT. Do not enter passwords into ChatGPT. Do not enter social security numbers. Be careful with private account numbers, medical details, legal documents, financial records, personal addresses, or anything sensitive. Before pasting information into any AI tool, ask yourself, would I be comfortable sharing this information outside of its original private place? If the answer is no, do not paste it. Also remember that ChatGPT can make mistakes. If it gives you instructions for something important, check the answer with a trusted source. For medical questions, use a doctor, pharmacist, or official medical source. For legal questions, use an attorney or official legal resource. For financial questions, use a qualified financial professional or official account information. For government programs, use the official government website or office. Now we are going to move from ChatGPT to Google Gemini. Gemini is Google's AI chat tool. Like ChatGPT, Gemini lets you ask questions, type instructions, request summaries, create drafts, brainstorm ideas, and ask follow-up questions. Gemini is connected to Google's AI services and may also connect with certain Google products depending on your account, settings, and availability. The important thing for beginners is this. Gemini and ChatGPT are similar in the basic way you use them. You open the tool, start a chat, type or speak a request, send it, read the answer, and ask follow-up questions. To access Gemini from a web browser, open your browser. This might be Chrome, Edge, Safari, Firefox, or another browser. Move to the address bar. On Windows, press Ctrl plus L. On Mac, press Command plus L. Type gemini.google.com, then press Enter. The Gemini website should load. You may be asked to sign in with a Google account. If you already have a Gmail address or Google account, you may be able to use that. Look for or move to the Sign In button. Press Tab until your screen reader announces Sign In, and then press Enter or Spacebar. Follow the sign-in steps. You may need to enter your email address, press Next, enter your password, and complete any verification steps. If you use two-step verification, you may need to approve the sign-in on your phone, enter a code, or use another method connected to your Google account. If you do not have a Google account, you may need to create one before using Gemini. Follow the Create Account steps from Google. This may include entering your name, choosing or entering an email address, creating a password, and verifying information. After signing in, Gemini may show introduction screens, notices, terms, or prompts about how the service works. Read these carefully. If you agree and want to continue, look for buttons such as Continue, I agree, Try Gemini, or similar wording. The exact labels may change. Gemini access can depend on your device, app availability, Google account type, region, age requirements, and current Google settings. For example, a personal Google account may have a different experience from a work or school Google account. A feature available on one device may not appear the same way on another device. You may also be able to access Gemini from an app or mobile device, where available. On Android, Gemini may be available through the Gemini app or through Google Assistant-related features, depending on the device and settings. On iPhone or iPad, Gemini access may be available through a Google app or Gemini app depending on current availability in the App Store and your region. Since app availability changes, the safest approach is to use the official App Store on your device and search for Google Gemini, or start from the official Gemini website. Now let's talk about the basic layout of Gemini. The layout may change over time, but you will usually find a place to start a new chat or new prompt. There will be a message edit box where you type your request. Your screen reader might announce something like enter a prompt here, message, edit box, or ask Gemini. There will usually be a send button. After typing your prompt, you can send it by activating the send button. In some cases, pressing enter may send the prompt, but if that does not work, tab to the send button and press enter or spacebar. There may be conversation history. This is where previous Gemini conversations may appear, depending on your settings and account. There may also be an account menu where you can manage your Google account, settings, activity, or sign out. There may be model or settings options, depending on what is available for your account. As with ChatGPT, beginners do not need to learn every model or setting immediately. Start with the default option and focus on learning how to ask clear questions. To start a new chat in Gemini, make sure you are signed in and on the Gemini page or app. Look for or move to an option such as New Chat, New Prompt, or a blank message area. Use Tab, Shift plus Tab, or your screen reader's navigation commands to locate the message edit box. When you are in the edit box, type a simple request such as, explain this topic in simple language. Then send the message. Use Enter if it works, or tab to the Send button and press Enter or Spacebar. When Gemini responds, read the answer carefully. Screen reader users can use standard reading commands to move through the response text. You may be able to navigate by headings, paragraphs, or controls depending on the browser and screen reader. You can ask follow-up questions in the same conversation. For example, after Gemini gives an answer, you can type, make that shorter, or give me an example, or explain that again for a beginner, or turn that into a checklist. You can also copy or use Gemini's response. Look for a copy button or options near the response. If a copy button is available, move to it and press Enter or Spacebar. Then paste the text into another app using Control plus V on Windows or Command plus V on Mac. Here are some beginner-friendly prompts you can try in Gemini. Explain this topic in simple language. Help me brainstorm ideas. Create a draft email. Summarize this information. Give me a step-by-step checklist. Compare these two options. Gemini and ChatGPT may give different answers to the same question. That is normal. They are different AI tools, and they may organize information differently, use different wording, or make different suggestions. Sometimes one answer may be more helpful than the other. Sometimes you may want to ask both tools and compare the results. But as a beginner, you do not need to use both every time. Start with one tool, get comfortable, and then try the other. Now let's compare ChatGPT and Gemini without making it overwhelming. Both tools allow you to ask questions and receive AI-generated responses. Both tools can help with writing, brainstorming, learning, summarizing, planning, and organizing information. Both tools can answer follow-up questions. Both tools can make mistakes. They may look different on the screen. The buttons may have different names. The account menus may be in different places. The mobile apps may feel different from the websites, but the basic process is very similar. First, open the tool. Second, start a new chat. Third, type or speak your request. Fourth, send the request. Fifth, read the answer. Sixth, ask follow-up questions. That is the basic pattern. You do not need to learn every feature at once. You do not need to understand every setting. You do not need to memorize every button. The most important skill is learning how to ask clear questions and how to review the answers carefully. Now let's spend a little more time on writing good prompts. A prompt is the instruction, question, or request you give to the AI. The prompt is what tells the AI what you want. A simple prompt formula is, tell the AI what you need. Give background or context. Say who the answer is for. Say the format you want. Ask it to be clear, simple, detailed, professional, friendly, or whatever style you need. For example, instead of saying, write a thank you email, you could say, write a short and friendly email thanking someone for attending a meeting. Keep it professional and make it no more than two paragraphs. Instead of saying, explain cloud storage, you could say, explain cloud storage to a beginner who uses a screen reader. Use plain language and give three examples of how someone might use it. Instead of saying, help me set up my phone, you could say, create a step-by-step checklist for setting up a new phone. Include signing in, connecting to Wi-Fi, checking accessibility settings, and installing important apps. Instead of saying, fix this paragraph, you could say, rewrite this paragraph so it sounds professional but still friendly. Keep the meaning the same and make it easier to read. The more clearly you explain what you need, the better the answer usually is. You can also ask the AI to improve your prompt. This is a great strategy when you know what you want but are not sure how to ask. You can type, please turn this into a better prompt. You can type, ask me questions to help make this prompt more specific. You can type, rewrite this prompt so I get a clearer answer. You can also ask, give me three versions of this prompt, one simple, one detailed, and one professional. This helps you learn prompting while still getting useful results. Now let's return to accuracy and safety. AI can be helpful, but it is not always correct. It may make up facts. It may misunderstand what you meant. It may give information that is outdated. It may leave out important details. It may give instructions that sound right but are not the best choice for your situation. That does not mean AI is useless. It means we should use it carefully. When accuracy matters, ask for sources. You might say, please include sources I can check. Or, what official website should I use to verify this? Or, tell me what parts of this answer I should double check. For medical, legal, financial, government, or account-related information, go to official sources. Use official websites, qualified professionals, or trusted organizations. Do not rely only on an AI answer for major decisions. Before copying and sending an AI-generated email, read it carefully. Make sure it says what you actually mean. Make sure the tone is appropriate. Make sure names, dates, amounts, and facts are correct. AI can help you draft, but you are responsible for the final message. Before using AI-generated instructions, make sure they apply to your device, app, version, and situation. For example, instructions for an iPhone may not work on Android. Instructions for Windows may not work on Mac. Instructions for one version of an app may not match another version. Also remember privacy. Do not paste passwords. Do not paste social security numbers. Be very careful with medical information, legal documents, bank information, private emails, confidential work information, or anything that belongs to someone else. A good rule is, start with simple, low-risk tasks. Ask AI to explain a topic, create a checklist, brainstorm ideas, rewrite a paragraph, or summarize public information. As you become more comfortable, you can decide when and how to use it for more complex tasks. Let's review what we covered today. We talked about what AI chat tools are. They are tools that let you type or speak questions and receive AI-generated responses. We talked about ChatGPT. We discussed how to access it from a browser by going to chat.com, how to sign in or create an account, how to use the website or app, how to find the new chat button, the message edit box, the send button, chat history, the account menu, and the model picker if available. We talked about how to start a ChatGPT conversation, type a question, send the message, read the response, ask follow-up questions, start a new chat, and copy a response. Then we moved to Google Gemini. We discussed how to access Gemini from a browser by going to Gemini.com, how to sign in with a Google account, how access may depend on account type, device, region, and settings, and how the basic layout includes a prompt area, message edit box, send button, conversation history, account menu, and possibly model or settings options. We compared ChatGPT and Gemini in a simple way. They may look different, but the basic process is similar. Open the tool, start a new chat, type or speak a request, send it, read the answer, and ask follow-up questions. We also talked about prompts. A prompt is the question, instruction, or request you give to AI. A good prompt tells the AI what you need, gives context, explains who the answer is for, says what format you want, and describes the style or level of detail you need. Finally, we talked about safety and accuracy. AI can be very useful, but it can make mistakes. Review answers carefully. Ask for sources when needed. Use official websites and trusted professionals for important information. Do not enter passwords, social security numbers, or sensitive private information. The best way to begin is with simple, low-risk questions. Ask AI to explain something, help write a short email, make a checklist, summarize a paragraph, or brainstorm ideas. Practice one step at a time. That concludes the presentation portion of our class. The next portion will be for practice and questions, where we can slow down, try examples, and help everyone get more comfortable using ChatGPT and Gemini.
So just to follow up on a couple of quick things. So ChatGPT, it's chat, and G is in golf, P is in papa, T is in tango.com. And Google Gemini is gemini.google.com. I was trying to figure out a way for the audio to say the dots, and I could not figure it out. So that's why it would say Gemini, they pause, Google, with a pause, com. So I also want to let all of you know I will be in Bits chat tonight and providing any kind of help, any questions that anybody has on AI, any tools, anything, prompting, whatever it may be. So I'll be in there till about probably 10:30 Eastern time helping people out. So please feel free to come. But as of right now, I want to open it up to all of you to ask questions or provide feedback or input.
Okay, we have Christina.
Kayla, I get really confused because they seem so similar. Like, what, like Gemini, what is better about, not better, but, you know, that makes all of them stand out? And Gemini, is that Genimi?
It's G-E, M as in Mary, I, N as in Nancy, I.
Okay.
And Gemini, yeah. So really, it really comes down to how you feel, which one is giving you the best responses that you expect. But it's also the models. ChatGPT has a lot of different models. Gemini has some. And when we say models, so ChatGPT, they have these different models like deep research, study, instant, thinking, pro. Like it's all these. And when we say models, it's that model like deep research. It really goes in deep, deep, deep into the World Wide Web. And it will pull everything. So if you're doing a research project, let's say, and you really want to know everything about, I don't know, undersea animals. Let's just put it that way. To make things simpler, you say, okay, I'm going to select deep research as the model. And, you know, and then you put in the prompt, please provide me with as much detail as possible about underwater animals. And you can be specific as to, like, you know, whether it's mammals, fish, whatever it may be. I'm not an expert on underwater animals, but, you know, and so, and then you press enter and it literally, it'll take some time, but you'll see it. Your screen reader will start saying, looking into blah, blah, blah. Okay, now I'm researching this and now I'm looking at, and it goes deep into everything it can possibly look for. And then it comes back with all the details.
So do you find the models? Like, do you search for the models, or it's just incorporated in the ChatGPT or Gemini?
Very good question. There's two different places. So there's kind of a quick pick model where when you're on the prompt area, the edit box,
yeah,
if you tab once, it will say whether it's instant, pro, thinking. You press space bar on that and you arrow down and it will give you a couple of brief options that you can select from. And it's kind of just like a quick start type thing.
Yeah.
But if you really want to see all the models, you shift tab up until you hear models and you press space bar on them and it's a drop down and it will show you all the different ones from study to deep research. And then it'll even show you the different versions of ChatGPT. Like, for example, ChatGPT, it'll show their ChatGPT models in terms of, like, whether it's 3.0, 4.5, 5.5, like it'll show you all the different ones that they have available. So you can determine, oh, do I want the newest model? Do I want an older model? So it shows you all those different ones to choose from. I hope that helps.
Yes, because they always talk about the models and where are they?
Yeah.
And is that the same with all, like, Gemini, the models? Like, you would do the same type of command to get to the models and all the other?
Yeah, AI? It should be. Sometimes I feel like some of them might have a different layout. So sometimes you kind of just have to tab around the screen to find something that would say, like, models or model selector or something of that sort. Because sometimes they locate them in different areas.
Thank you. That was really helpful.
Welcome.
And I like that way that worked with the globe.
Yeah.
We'll go to Abby. Go ahead. Abby. See.
There.
There we go.
There we are. Am I here now?
Abby. Yes.
Okay, perfect. So I was just wondering, this may have been covered and I might have missed it. But is there a way to access history in Gemini, chat history?
Yes. So in all of the chatbots, there is at the top, you will find an area that usually some people collapse it, some people expand it, but it will say either history or recents. And under there, it will show buttons and it will, you know, have like the category, like the topic listed. And so you would press enter on whichever topic you want to go back to and either review or do follow-up questions with.
Okay, great. Because I know you could do that in ChatGPT, but I wasn't sure about Gemini. Thank you so much.
I'm using ChatGPT all the time. I actually even ask the chat bots, I should say, Claude, ChatGPT, Gemini, if I am totally unsure, just like I was with this Basics with Bits, how to go about creating it. I actually wrote to ChatGPT and I said, and I used the thinking model is what the model was that I used, but I said, create a prompt for AI. I am teaching a session called Basics with Bits, and it is for beginners. And I went into detail. I told it, you know, what my intentions were, what I wanted to cover, and that it should be screen reader friendly in regards to keyboard, you know, keystrokes and all that stuff being included. So it gave me and said, here you go. Here is an AI prompt you can use for another chatbot. And so I copied and pasted it into a new chat, and it brought up this presentation. So of course I read through it just to make sure everything looked good, but you know, it's pretty impressive what it can do for sure. So yeah.
So no hands.
No hands.
No questions, no experiences, any feedback? Nothing?
Not a thing here.
Oh, I think I heard one go up.
Oh, I heard two. We've got Christina again and Abby.
How long did it take you, Kayla, to create the presentation? I mean, I know it took a while, probably in Globe, but just to get all your information.
So it probably took maybe, to be honest, a half an hour to an hour to put it all together, to get the prompt for an AI, to also paste that prompt into a new chat, have it put it through and create everything, to reading it over and making sure everything looked perfect.
I mean, can you just imagine you've had to sit down and write the whole thing?
Exactly. You know, so it's funny, in text, this presentation's 14 pages long.
Wow.
So, yeah, I would not be able to imagine myself sitting there trying to write a 14-page presentation on all of this. But, and then we put it into Quill. Jeff helped me put it into Quill because I think it's actually part of the new release coming out. I didn't realize he had text to audio, text to speech in there. So that will be coming out, and he put that in there. So that probably took a good half hour to an hour to do as well. So it was really good.
Wow. Great. Thank you.
Yeah. All right. We have, next will be Abby, followed by Rebecca. So I'm just wondering then, when you recorded the presentation, I realized it wasn't your voice. You must have used an AI voice. Does that come with Quill, or did you use 11 Reader or something else to generate the recording?
Comes with Quill.
Okay.
Yeah. Jeff has about 30, what do they call, Kakorian, I think, voices that are built into the text-to-speech in Quill. So.
Oh, yes. Okay. All right. Well, it sounded pretty good. It said, okay. Of course, for the web address is not including the periods and punctuation.
Yeah.
Okay. So Rebecca, and then Dawn will be after Rebecca.
I know that Gemini has Notebook LM and also has something where you can create a conversation between two bots based on your topic. Have you tried using that at all? I work with an organization that uses Gemini, so they had access to it. I just wondered about your opinion of it.
I have not used that yet, and that is very interesting. Too bad Jeff Bishop wasn't here, because I'm probably sure he's probably tried it. But no, I have not tried that yet. But that does sound very interesting, actually, to see how that works. Yeah.
Yeah, huh. I don't think it's free, and I have a free personal Gemini, because I can't pay for all of the new offense. They're like $20 a piece. So I'm playing for Claude because of its coding thing. But You know, I have heard that sometimes you can have a notebook LM and you can put all these files in it and it could generate like a summary of it or something.
Yeah.
So I just wondered if anyone else on the call has tried it.
Dawn and then Anne.
So I want ChatGPT to give me book recommendations, but I want it to have access to my Goodreads because that's where all my stuff is. And I can't get it to, obviously it doesn't have access. And I'm trying to get it. How can I get it to give book recommendations? Like, for example, I'm looking at stuff like similar to Stephanie Plum books by Janet Ivanovich. So how can I get it to do that and have access to my Goodreads and be able to say, okay, which stuff did she read? What stuff did she like? What stuff did she absolutely despise? And what's on her TBR file, which is growing by the day.
So my best recommendation is to, because, you know, the chat bots can only connect to certain, you know, applications and things like that. So unfortunately, you know, Goodreads, it's not quite there yet in terms of being able to connect to that. But if you prompted and say, you know, these are some of the authors I have read and, you know, can you please recommend books similar to these type of authors, as well as you can even provide the ChatGPT or Gemini, whoever, with the different genres you're interested in. And the more detail you give, the more it will align to what you're looking for.
Okay, gotcha.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Okay, then we'll have Anne followed by Jim.
Hey, Kayla, wonderful presentation.
Yeah.
I'm starting at the very beginning. I don't have a working computer right now, so I have my iPhone. Apple Intelligence is on. But where do I start? I mean, do I have to download the OpenAI first before going to ChatGPT? I've just really been confused about the whole process.
Not a problem. So on the iPhone, you will want to go to the App Store. Mm-hmm. Press on the search button in the bottom right. Mm-hmm. And then in the search box at the top, you want to put in ChatGPT, or you can even put in Gemini to see if it's available in the App Store. And usually the first search result that comes up is an advertisement. So I go to the next one, okay, and it will say ChatGPT. And you want to just swipe once over to the right and it will say get. You tap on that you might have to do a verification. But once you do that, you open it up and you'll want to sign in or sign up. So if you don't have a Google, like a chat.
I do have a Google account. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So there's different ways you can sign in. You can use your Google account. You can use, you know, Apple, or you can just create a email and password, but you sign in and then you can start using it. And so just so everybody's also aware, all of these, they do have a free version, but they're limited on how many questions you can ask. I think ChatGPT, I think it's anywhere between 10 and 20 questions you can ask before it's like, you need to purchase a, you know, plan.
Oh.
So that is one other thing I just want to let you guys know about. The ChatGPT, they have a ChatGPT Go plan that I think costs $8 to $10 a month, but they also have a ChatGPT Plus plan that costs $20 a month. I can't remember the limits, but, you know, check out the different plans on the ChatGPT website if you're interested. That's just something as well to be aware of. And same with Gemini, Claude, all of those, same thing.
Okay. Well, that's good. Yeah. But what is this OpenAI? You mentioned that. What is that?
OpenAI is what ChatGPT and all of these, they're called open source. So it's all out on the web. It's all web-based. There is a way, and I'll let all of you know that there is a way to make it so that it won't store your data, or if it will, it's not going to, you know, use it for training modeling purposes. So when you go into your profile on whichever chatbot you want, you go to settings, and within settings, there is a privacy tab. You go there and you want to have it uncheck the training model area, because that will make it so it's more private to you and it's more secure. So it's not using any of your data for training purposes. So it makes it a little bit more secure for you. So that is one thing to be aware of as well.
Okay, just one last thing. What is Quill? And is all of this dependent on having Quill? Because I don't have Quill. What is Quill?
Quill is a separate program. So these are all independent of themselves. They're all separate. Okay. Quill is a program, an editing program that Jeff Bishop, our president, created. Mm-hmm. And it's screen reader friendly. I don't think they have an iOS version yet, an iPhone version. They only have, I believe it's a Mac and Windows version at the moment. It's really a simple editor that lets you be able to edit content in all different ways.
Okay, great. Thanks so much.
No problem.
All right. Next up is Jim.
I just wanted to thank you all for the presentation. It was fantastic.
Thank you for coming.
Cindy.
You partially answered my question about privacy. If that is checked and it doesn't use my data for training, does it store it? Does it like use it to create some kind of profile about me and then target me with ads or anything like that?
So it won't target you for ads, but it does store the data. So it kind of gets to know you. And so, for example, I have mentioned about in some of my earlier chats about like BITS being Blind Information Technology Solutions, how I'm completely blind, how I use a screen reader and all this stuff. So a lot of times now I can just say, write up an email for BITS and blah, 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 blah. And it knows what BITS is. It knows that I'm a blind person, that I'm doing things for blind people. So it knows automatically to make it a screen reader friendly environment.
So I guess what I was thinking is you know, the presentation cautioned against medical information, for instance. And I've asked it many generic health questions about, can you explain this particular condition? And sometimes they're about me and sometimes they're not. So is that kind of okay? I'm not saying like my test result. Well, even sometimes it would. Like, what if you have a test result that says X? You know, can you explain that more?
Yeah, you know, you can definitely ask it. I know I do. I will actually say, you know, hey, I know technically you're not a medical doctor. However, I'm waiting to hear back from my doctor about my test results. And this is what I have that came back for test results. Can you explain as much as you can what these mean? And it usually will. It will usually do a pretty extensive job on explaining it. And then I'll, you know, wait till the doctor gets back to me and see, like, if they say, yeah, everything looks great. And, you know, and it kind of confirms from ChatGPT's point that, yeah, you are great. Like, you're good. You know, then you know it's been accurate.
I guess my question more was, is there any, you know, kind of an inherent danger in, besides accuracy, privacy danger?
I don't think so. No, because, you know, like I said, it will just store the data for personal use in terms of helping you and knowing you. As long as you have that training model off, you're good.
Yeah. Thank you very much. Thanks.
No problem.
Okay, we now are going to go to Rebecca.
I just give one piece of advice that I try to do. Is if I'm asking medical advice, I may say based on Medline Plus or based on a resource that I trust, I'll ask it to search that. Or say if it's a specific organization that deals with a specific disease, I will put that in the prompt sometimes. And also sometimes, especially with a Gemini, I think ChatGPT, maybe Gemini has it more than that. I don't know. So it has like a research tab where it goes into more results, say, than your regular model. Also, I've noticed even with Claude, not to jump around, even if you get a paid plan, sometimes even it will have limits and it will make you wait a few hours before you can do something else. I found that out the hard way.
Yeah, well, even thank you, Rebecca.
Sure. You know, yeah, I'll be coding something and say, oh, you've used your limits. Either buy more tokens or wait till such and such a time. I'm like, oh, I was on a roll.
Yeah, it happens to Jeff and all of them all the time because they're always running out.
It's not just a warning. It's because you pay $20 or something. And it's not unlimited.
Okay, we have Abby.
Okay, so I just have an observation about copying responses. I use both ChatGPT and Gemini. I have it polish something I've written. And so it'll say, all right, here's a polished version of this essay. And it'll have the polished version. Below it, it'll say, you know, let me know if you want me to do anything more with this or why I changed this, because, you know, it'll offer its own interpretation. And so if you hit that copy response button, it's going to copy everything. And so then when you paste it into your Word document or whatever, then you're going to have to go back through and delete, you know, all its commentary at the beginning, at the end of, you know, what it polished for you. So just might want to be aware of that. And then also, so I usually then just copy the actual text of what it polished as opposed to the whole response. It may take longer, but then I don't have to get rid of all that extraneous stuff. And then I've also noticed, even when I have it generate a response in a Word document, the formatting isn't always exactly the way I want it. So I just thought people should be aware, if you use it for that, just be aware that, you know, if you copy things directly, it's going to change the formatting. So,
yeah, so thank you for bringing that up. So there is a couple of things. So you can ask it to make the final version of your response to be put into a downloadable, accessible Word document. And so that way it will provide a download link when it's done, and it will either have you, it'll either bring up a save dialog box, or it will download it automatically into your downloads folder on your computer. It depends on the different chatbot. But also, when you're pasting into a Word document or any other document, if you use your applications key or Shift F10, down arrow, and when you get to paste, sometimes it will show either two options for paste, so we'll have paste or paste as plain text. If you do regular paste, it will paste everything regularly, but then there's options that it gives where it'll say paste, keep source formatting is usually the one it will land on as the first one. If you hit that, it will include the headers, you know, all the stuff that it put in within the chatbot.
So, okay, I didn't think of that. Yes, I'll try.
That's probably another way.
Just plain text might be a better way, because it kind of messes things up, and then I have to reformat it. So if I do plain text, then it probably wouldn't do that. So yeah. I'll give that a try. All right, thank you.
No problem.
And our hands are clear.
Wow. Well, I hope all of you enjoyed this presentation. Like I said, I will be in Bits chat tonight from 8 p.m. till about 10:30 p.m. Eastern time. So please feel free to come and ask questions, just chat, whatever you'd like to do. I'll be there. And thank you for coming.
And thank you, Kayla, and thanks everybody who was here today.